chapter 1, verses 7, 8, and 9. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now we see him not, yet believe him. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. In verse number 8, hold this phrase of the verse in mind, whom having not seen. Now turn to John chapter 20, beginning at verse number 25. John chapter 20, beginning at verse number 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Hallelujah. Let me read that again. This ought to stir everybody in this room tonight. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Praise the Lord. Everybody, could you say praise the Lord tonight? You may be seated and the Lord bless you tonight. After the reading of these scriptures, and I know they are not strange scriptures to you that attend this church, you've heard these scriptures read many times, but I feel the Lord impress this on my heart, maybe for more reasons than one. I'd like to title this message, Values, Seen and Unseen. Values, Seen and Unseen. Faith and belief are divided into three classes. Believers and unbelievers are divided into three classes. Do not exercise your doubts. Exercise your faith. Doubt is weakness. Faith is power. Doubt is a disease. Faith is health. I want to preach faith to you tonight. We have not seen him, yet we believe in him. I said we have not seen the Lord, but we believe in him. Now, when I made the statement that faith and unbelief and believers and unbelievers are divided into three classes, this is what I meant. Number one, those will not believe what they see. Secondly, those who believe only when they see. Thirdly, those who have not seen yet believe. And the Lord has placed a great blessing upon the people who has not seen, but yet they have believed. I'm going to take these thoughts tonight, and I want to preach to you. Now, this is not last Sunday night, and this is not last Wednesday night, and this is not last Friday night. This is this particular Sunday night that I want to preach to you. Christ is coming, and He's coming soon. All the signs of the times point in that direction. He's coming, and He's coming soon. Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, lift up your heads and rejoice, for your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus said, when you see all of these things come to pass, you will know that my coming is nigh, even at the door. And anything that gets as close to you as your door, that is close by. And Jesus gave us certain signs He said would take place prior to His coming. All of these signs point to the soon return of Jesus Christ. We do not need any doubt among us. We do not need any unbelief among us. We need faith in the unseen, faith in the invisible, faith in the inspired Word of God. Regardless of how we feel about things, we need to realize the Scripture that said, He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now notice the first class, they will not believe what they see. The men that came to take Jesus, they had never seen grown up adult men fall at a spoken word. But when Jesus Christ came into the presence of these men and they came to take Him, they fell. They had never seen anything like that. But yet they would not believe that there was a supernatural power that Jesus Christ possessed in Him. All time after time after time, I could take you to Scripture after Scripture where the demonstration of God's power was so plain, it was manifested in such a way until a man would have no room to doubt it. But yet when they saw it, they would not believe it. They would not believe it. When I look in Acts chapter 7, there was Stephen as he was preaching a great Holy Ghost-inspired message. And the Bible tells me that the people stopped up their ears and they ran to Stephen and they gnashed him with their teeth. They would not believe what they were hearing and they would not believe what they were seeing. And I'm here to preach to you tonight. All you have to do is to believe in the invisible. Believe in the unseen. If you want the power of God to fall in this church like rain, you begin to believe even though you were not at Pentecost. You were not in the book of Acts. But all you have to do is to believe. And the Bible said you will see the glory of God. I'm preaching faith to you tonight. John chapter 9, Jesus and His disciples came upon a man that had been blind from birth. And immediately the disciples said, "Who sinned, he or his parents?" Jesus said, "Neither." All of this has happened that the glory of God could be made manifest. And immediately Jesus spit on the ground and He took the spittle and worked it into clay. And He made a plaster on this blind man's eyes. Now He said, all you have to do is to go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and you will come forth seeing. I would imagine that was a peculiar sight, a very strange sight indeed. A man walking down the street or down the road, whatever the case might have been. A man blind from birth, taking his way to the pool of Siloam because a man called Jesus, the prophet, the teacher, the savior, the healer, had spit on the ground and worked that spittle into clay and it made a plaster and put it on each eye. I'm glad that that man did not meet some people like we have in this generation. Why, they'd have criticized him to high heavens. Where in the world are you going? What have you got on your eyes? Oh, it's a plaster of clay. Who in the world put clay on your eyes? Why, a man that told me that if I'd go wash in the pool of Siloam, listen, you don't have anything to lose. Whatever the Lord says to do, I don't care how strange, how peculiar that it might be. All you have to do is to act upon the Word of God. Hallelujah. If the walls of Jericho has enclosed you and you're not feeling the victory like you ought to feel it tonight, He told them to do a peculiar thing. March, not fight. Yes, march. At the end of the march, everybody shout. Strange thing. That's no reasonable way to fight a battle. But oh, brother, when God tells you to do something, plunge out and do it. Hallelujah. Just plunge out and do it. And that fellow went pegging his way to the pool. Where are you going? Oh, I'm going and wash in the pool of Siloam. And the Bible said, he washed and came forth seeing. You talk about an excitement. You talk about people, they got all stirred up. Somebody said, is that the one that sat and begged? Somebody said, it looks like him. He said, I am he. He said, I'm the one that was blind. They said, how did it happen? A man came along, spit on the ground, made patches of clay, put it on my blinded eye, told me to go wash. I went and washed, and here I am, healed, standing before you with perfect eyesight. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! But they would not believe it. The argument went around and around, around and around. They had it. The Pharisees, they didn't believe anything like that. Oh, they would not believe. They talked to him. They talked to him. He told the story. They said, we're going to talk to your parents. They went and talked to the parents. They said, we don't know how it all happened. But a man called Jesus came along and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Hallelujah. Listen, let me tell you. You can sit on the church pew and dry up and be blown away by the wind. And there's no need of that. The thing to do is to put your feet in the water tonight. Hallelujah. Whatever the Lord has said to do, do that. Somebody's lost their shout. I'll tell you why that people have lost their shout, if ever had any shout. It's because the well is running dry. I said the well is running dry. The Lord said this religion would be in you a well, a well, a well of living water springing into everlasting life. You know, too many critics in this generation. Oh, I don't see no need of that. I don't see no need of the other. Why all of this anyhow? But here was the blind man. He didn't question. You study the book of Acts. The reason they had revivals in the book of Acts, they never questioned. When somebody came preaching, they believed it. And they plunged in. Immediately, they plunged in. But now, we've got too many critics. They say, I don't see any need of this. I don't see any need of that. I don't believe this. I don't believe that. Listen, this book tells me what to believe tonight. Hallelujah. And I must believe it. I must believe it. If I am to reap what God said I could reap, I must believe it. They saw it, but they didn't believe it. I said, they saw it, but they didn't believe it. People will not believe what they see. Somebody can come and get healed. Somebody will say there was nothing the matter with them to start with. They just don't believe what they see. Now, here's one of the most impressive things that I've ever read in the Bible. Jesus talked about a rich man and a poor man. He talked about a rich man and a beggar. The Bible said that the beggar laid at the rich man's gate full of sores. He begged for the crumbs. He didn't say, take me in to the table and give me a square meal. Give me a T-bone. He didn't say that. He begged for the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Now the Bible said he was laid at the gate. This rich man had a gate to his mansion, and I would imagine morning after morning, when he'd go downtown or go to work, whatever, he would have to pass by that old bundle of rags in front of his gate, just begging, not for a square meal. He did not want a chair at the man's table. He said, just give me the crumbs that will fall from your table. That's all I'm asking for. But let me tell you, the day came. Now you hear this tonight. The day came. And the day is going to come with everybody. Sooner or later, the day is going to come. And the day came when the angels came and transported this beggar, his soul, into the paradise of God. Oh, get it tonight, my friends. If you're saved, you ought to be so happy about it tonight. The Lord is watching over us. I said the Lord is watching over us. He's got angels encamped around about this church tonight. Glory! I feel like I'm in a camp meeting tonight. Hallelujah! Praise God! Praise God! To preach the gospel! To preach the gospel! To preach the truth! There's a better way to live than to live in sin. There's a better way to die than to die in sin. The angels came, transported this poor beggar, Lazarus, into the bosom of Abraham, which is paradise. The Jews understood Abraham. And the Bible said, the rich man died and was buried. Quite a bit of difference in the two lives and the two deaths. He died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. He saw a scene. He saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. You know, I've read a lot about different conversions of different people. But never have I read anywhere a conversion that took place so fast as this conversion did. It was too late. Somebody said, I'm an infidel. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Somebody said, I'm an atheist. They won't be an atheist. They won't be an infidel in hell. When their feet touches the hot coals of an everlasting fire, they're going to wake up and realize that there is a God and a devil and a heaven and a hell. I've heard men say, if there be a God, let him strike me dead. He's got too much mercy to strike an idiot dead. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Listen. Don't sympathize with me because I believe what I believe. Don't sympathize with me because I'm walking like I'm walking and living like I'm living. I'm as comforted, I'm as happy as anybody you ever saw in all the days of your life. Hallelujah. One day, and it won't be long, if the Lord tarries and this soul leaves this body, it's going to be transported out under into the very presence of God Almighty. Hallelujah. It will be someday. Oh, he got converted. And I never saw a man in my life that turned to be a missionary so fast. He said, I got 5 brothers back home. Send Lazarus or somebody. Let somebody be raised from the dead. Send somebody. And let them warn my brothers not to come to this place. Hear me tonight. That's a warning. Warn my brothers not to come here. And you know what the message was to this rich man in hell? They have Moses and the law. They have the Old Testament. They have the prophets. If they won't believe the law and the prophets, they will not believe one, though he rose from the dead. Listen. Somebody that everybody knew in that generation could have been raised from the dead, walked down the streets of Jerusalem, whatever the case might have been, found these 5 brethren and said, I have come from the dead. I have a message direct from your brother that's in hell. He wanted me to come and warn you to stay out of this place. Why, they would have laughed that man to scorn. Why, we don't believe you ever heard from my brother. Listen, let me tell you something tonight. If you're interested in the Holy Ghost, don't you go to somebody that tells you that you can't receive it to find out about the Holy Ghost. You go to some old saint of God that's been walking with the Lord for 25 or 30 years. You ask them about the Holy Ghost. Don't go to some preacher that don't believe anything and ask him about the Holy Ghost. He'll tell you that you can't get it. Go to some preacher, praise God, that has preached the gospel and felt that anointing power of God. You ask that man, he'll tell you about the Holy Ghost. Oh, they wouldn't believe it if they saw it. a man raised from the dead. God said he wouldn't believe it. And let me tell you, that old rich man, he had everything that life demanded and desired. There's one thing he couldn't take with him. And that was a thermos bottle full of ice water. Couldn't even take a thermos bottle full of Seaport coffee. Couldn't get there with it. He begged. He said, send less. He didn't say send a gallon of water. He didn't say send a tank of water. He said, just send Lazarus with one drop of water to cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You hear me tonight, friend. They will not believe what they see. They will not believe what they see. If you see something happen in this church tonight, somebody's leg would be straightened out. Somebody'd walk away and say, it never was crooked to start with. Then somebody says, where are the miracles? I'll tell you where the miracles are. You are on these church pews tonight. Everybody that's been filled with the Holy Ghost, your sins are gone. Your vessel has become the temple of the vessel of the Holy Ghost. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. He dug you out of sin. He brought you out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's the kind of gospel I'm preaching tonight. A gospel that will get down into your heart, underneath your fifth rib. Hallelujah. It'll stir you up. It will convert you. They will not believe, though they see it. Now, number two, they will not believe unless they see. Now, Thomas, he was absent. After the resurrection of the Lord, he was absent. The other disciples were together. And the Bible said the Lord appeared unto them. Then he disappeared. And Thomas came walking in. They said, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. Oh, he said, I don't believe it. I've got to see for myself. I've got to see the prints of the nails in his hand. And I've got to put my finger in the print. Now listen, that was bringing it down to a very narrow thing. Not only have I got to see, but I've got to feel of his hand. I've got to put my finger in the nail prints of the hand. If not, I'm not going to believe you've seen the Lord. You know, the Lord knows how to work everything out. And 8 days later, the Bible said, all of the disciples were together and Thomas was there. There was not a footstep heard on the stairway, not the turn of a key in the lock, and all at once Jesus stood in their midst and said, Thomas, come here. I know what you've been saying, Thomas. Now you come here. Behold my hands. Thomas, these are healing hands. These are the hands that reached out and touched the fever's brow. These are the hands that touched the lepers and they were cleansed immediately. These are the hands. These are the hands that took the bread and the fish and blessed them. These are the hands. Thomas, behold my hands. Oh, behold my hands. If everybody could get a vision of the hands of the Lord tonight, the hands of the Lord. He said, Thomas, reach hither your finger. Put it into the nail prints of my hand. Then Thomas, take your hand. Thrust it into the wound of my side. That's the side that was open, hanging on the cross when a Roman soldier thrust in the spear and out came blood and water. Thomas, that was the fountain that was open in the house of David for sin and for uncleanness. Thrust your hand in there, Thomas. Now when you do, don't be faithless. Have faith. And I'm going to tell you when Thomas did what the Lord asked him to do. Immediately he fell in the presence of Jesus and said, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. I didn't intend to preach on one God tonight, but here it is. Just as plain as I can read in the Word of God. If Jesus Christ was not his Lord and his God, he would have rebuked Thomas and said, get up, Thomas. I'm not your Lord. I'm not your God. And therefore, I cannot accept worship that does not belong to me. But when he said, my Lord and my God, he knew. exactly what he was talking about. Hallelujah! Glory! My God, have mercy. We are having a service here tonight. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory! Thomas had to see. Thomas had to see. And when he saw, he got a revelation. My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Hallelujah. Let me give you some scripture. 2 Samuel 32:32. Who is the Lord save God? Jeremiah 10:10. The Lord is the true God and everlasting King. Ephesians 4:4. There is one Lord. Now the Lord of eternity is God, and the God of eternity is the Lord. And the Lord, He is God. He is the everlasting King. And there's not but one Lord. Ephesians 4:4. Now all I've got to do is to find out who that Lord is. Then I'll know who God is. I'll know who the King is. I'll know who He is. Acts 9:5. On that Damascus road, God just tapped Saul and he hit the earth. He looked up. He said, Lord, that's in your Bible. Acts 9:5. Lord, who art thou? Lord, who art thou? I wish everybody would ask that question and be as honest as Saul was. Lord, who art thou? Lord, who art thou? Now, this is all I know about it. And the Lord said. And there's only one Lord, and He is God. And the Lord said. And the Lord said, I am the second person in the Blessed Trinity. Is that what He said? No, He said, I am Jesus. And the Lord said, I am Jesus. And the Lord said, I am Jesus. I am Jesus. And the Lord said, I am Jesus. He appeared to John. He said, I'm the first, I'm the last, the beginning, the ending, the Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. When you begin to preach Him, brother, you're preaching from Genesis to the book of Revelation, all the way through. He's the first, the last, the beginning, the ending. Hallelujah. Glory. They always taught me in school that when you refer to another person, you are to address that person first and then your second. Now, this is proper. This is absolutely proper. Brother Milam and I are going out tonight for a steak, and he's going to pick up the tab. Now, that's absolutely correct. Now, that's right. But Jesus said, John 10:30, He didn't say my Father and I. He said, I and my Father. You read it when you get home. I and my Father are one. Which one? The one. Jesus. Jesus. And the Lord said, I am Jesus. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is saved. Proverbs 13:4, who hath ascended, who hath descended, who hath bound the waters in the garment, or gathered the wind in his fist. What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? John 5:43, I am come in my Father's name. I am come in my Father's name. Matthew 1:21, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Thomas had to see to believe, but there's a greater blessing when you haven't seen and yet believe. Now you see, Thomas belonged to that group that he had to see in order to believe. Now if everybody had to see in order to believe, nobody would be saved. There would be no church on earth if everybody had to see to believe. That's where your faith goes to work. I haven't seen him, but I believe in him. I haven't seen him, but I felt him. Like the little boy flying a kite, and that thing had got out of sight, so he was behind the building, and that kite was gone. Somebody walked around and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm flying a kite." He said, "I don't see no kite. How do you know you're flying a kite?" He said, "I feel the tug on the other end of the string." Hallelujah. Thank God. Listen, I'm not flying a kite tonight. I'm preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. And the reason I know it, I feel a tug on the other end of the string. Hallelujah. I feel that tug on the other end of the string. Hallelujah. 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 I haven't seen, but yet I believe. How much belonged to the group that he had to see before he could believe? But we belong to the group. We don't see, but yet we believe. Now, that's the third class I want to preach about a while. Now, don't anybody get nervous. You stay with me tonight. Hallelujah. I haven't felt this full of preach since about 10:15 this morning. Hallelujah. Thank God. When I get to talking about, you know, there's one thing about it. I don't mind to preach. If you don't think I'll preach, you send for me. I like to preach. I'll be frank with you. I like to preach. When I feel what I feel here tonight, it's no trouble to preach. Now I'm trying to get you into a realm of faith right now where if you'll turn yourself loose, we're going to have a spontaneous explosion here in the next few minutes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are of the group that believe, but yet we have not seen. We would not have a church if everybody had to see before they could believe. Believer is in every way blessed. We would like to have lived in the time of Jesus, but we didn't. Now I'm going to take John chapter 7 and verse 37. I'm going to show you where our belief comes in. John chapter 7 and verse 37. Let me tell you, you take the book of Acts. When people went out to preach in Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, I'll just remind you of this passage. Acts chapter 8. Philip went down to the city of Samaria. And what did he preach when he got down there? The Bible said he preached unto them Christ. That's all he knew what to preach. And let me tell you, when he started preaching Christ, he stirred up the devil. And let me tell you, you'll never have a revival nowhere until you can stir up the devil. I would to God I could stir him up tonight. Stir him up. Stir him up tonight. And then when he gets stirred up, he starts to fight you and he starts lying on you. I was holding a meeting in a new place. Listen, I've been to places where they didn't know what the word hallelujah was. And I had a neck mic like this one. And the cord went out from under my coattail. Head up a big tent, sawdust, old-fashioned altars, hot, sweat, preach, enjoyed it. People were coming, standing outside looking, you know. Know what in the world is going on in that tent? About that time, a lady walked up to the front and said, "Pray for me." I laid my hand on that woman's head. She hit that sawdust just like a sack of mixed peas. Kaplunk, she went. And when the people standing out, they all started backing up. Somebody said, "Don't get close to that man. He's charged. I saw the wire. I saw the wire." Said, "Don't get close to him." Said, "He's charged." "Brother, you mighty right I'm charged tonight." Hallelujah. That's God. That's right. "You mighty right I'm charged tonight." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "You mighty right I'm charged tonight." Charged with the power of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, I felt like I was going to do this right here tonight. I'm on my knees. And while I'm on my knees, I'm going to challenge every one of you in this room tonight. From the youngest to the oldest, I challenge you tonight to let your mind go back for a moment. The day and the hour that you got the Holy Ghost. Think when you prayed through the joy that came in your heart. The peace and the power that came in your heart. I challenge you to do it. I challenge you to do it. I challenge you to go back to the day and the hour that you prayed through. Love God like you did that day. Love God like you did that moment. Worship God like you did that day. pray, pray like you did that day. You'll have a revival in your soul. I challenge you tonight. I challenge every one of you here tonight. The reason people drift away is the fact that they think they can live on a past experience. It's got to be renewed every day. Fresh manna every day. Hallelujah. I challenge you tonight. I challenge you to love God like you did in the beginning. To love your fellow man like you did in the beginning. Love your church like you did in the beginning. Love the preacher like you did in the beginning. Love each other like you did in the beginning. And when you do, we'll have a revival. I said we'll have a revival. Hallelujah. I didn't have to go downtown the next day. Hallelujah. Everybody praise the Lord tonight. Everybody praise the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't have to go downtown next day and buy an ad on the radio or put a big ad in the paper. The next night, they couldn't even get around that tent. The story got out. The man's charged. He's got a battery. I saw the wire. Man, I'm going to tell you. The Bible said in Acts chapter 8, Philip must have been charged. Evil spirits began to come out of people. People were healed. And you know what the Bible said? There was great joy in that city. I said great joy in that city. Now when we have a revival the first day, what kind of singing program do they have? Can they sing? What I'm interested in, can they preach? We've got singers here that can sing as good as anybody in the country. We need somebody who can preach. And I'm doing a pretty good job of it tonight. Hallelujah! Let me tell you tonight, I am not tiptoeing through the tulip. I'm preaching tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faith in the unseen. Faith in the invisible. Faith in God. Faith in another world that is yet to come. Hallelujah. That's the kind of preaching I'm doing tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What kind of faith does he recognize? What kind of belief does he recognize? John 7:37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me
and drink.
Take a sip.
And drink.
Drink. Oh, yes, drink.
And drink. He that believeth on me.
He that believeth on me.
As the Scripture hath said.
If what?
The Scripture hath said.
No. Grandma.
The Scripture.
No, Grandpa.
The Scripture.
The Bishop.
The Scripture.
The Elder.
The Scripture.
Who?
The Scripture.
Oh, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture
hath said.
Hath said. Wait a minute. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said.
Hallelujah.
Here I am, 6,000 years from creation. Before a star twinkled in the sky. Before the moon came up to give its light. Before the sun arose to warm the earth with his beams. God separated light from darkness, the water from dry land. The story of creation is revealed in Genesis. I'm 6,000 years from that. I was not there when he did it, but I believe it. I believe it. I believe in the Genesis account of the story of creation. I believe it. The Bible said, by faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. He spoke it into existence. He brought it about by the power of His Word. I didn't see Him crucified. I was not there when the angel announced His birth. I never saw his miracle. I never saw his demonstration of power. Here I am 2,000 years after that, still believing because the Scripture told me. The Scripture told me. I asked somebody not long ago, I said, how do you know a certain thing? Oh, they said a little bird told me. I said, it could have been a cuckoo. That's the trouble. Little birds, you know, they peddle messages around. I'm not getting this from the birds tonight. I'm getting this from the Bible. Young people, keep your feet on the rock and your nose in this book tonight, and nobody will ever lead you astray. Nobody will ever lead you astray. Jesus Christ stood, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said.
Hallelujah.
What's going to happen to it?
Out of his belly?
Out of his innermost being.
Shall flow rivers.
Shall flow rivers.
Of living water.
Of stagnated water.
Living water.
Living water.
Living water.
Living water.
Hallelujah.
Living water.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Now what is that living water?
But this spake he.
But this spake he.
Of the Spirit.
Of the Spirit.
Which they that believe on him.
Which they that believe on him.
Should receive.
Should receive.
For the Holy Ghost was not yet
for
given.
For the Holy Ghost was not yet given.
Because that Jesus.
Because that Jesus.
Was not yet glorified.
Was not yet glorified.
Right.
Since he spoke those words, he's been crucified,
yes,
buried, resurrected, and glorified. And the Holy Ghost is being poured out upon everybody that will believe in him. Oh, listen, this is not something that's dusted on. No. This comes from on high. We had a preacher. He was in a community where they didn't believe Pentecostal doctrine at all. And that preacher was praying for the sick, and he had a bottle of oil. Didn't have any label on it. And they got up the idea in that community that whatever was in that bottle was causing that commotion. And they stole it. They stole that bottle. And they sent it away and had it analyzed. And when it came back, the analysis was on the bottle, olive oil. This don't come because you got a bottle sitting in the church. No, sir, it don't come because you got pretty pews to sit down on. I tell you how it comes when you believe on him as the Scripture has said. Hallelujah! I want to show you where this belief in the unseen is going to take us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. I'm going to show you. I would have liked to have seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. But I was not there. I was not there. I'm just 2,000 years too late. That's all. But praise God, he left behind a record. I said he left behind a record.
Yes, he did.
And I can read it. I can read it. Praise God. Now here is what's going to happen to the believer who has his faith in the unseen. Look.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren.
Now wait a minute. Now let's notice this very carefully. Here is something I want to impress in the closing moments of this service tonight. Whether you believe it or not, I feel revival here tonight. Lift
hallelujah.
Your hands and let's praise the Lord tonight.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of God.
Bless you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13.
But I would not have you to be ignorant.
But brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren.
Concerning them which are asleep.
Concerning them which are asleep.
That ye sorrow not.
That you sorrow not.
Even as others which have no hope.
Even as others which have no hope.
For if we believe.
For if we believe.
That Jesus died and rose again.
Now wait a minute. For if we believe.
We believe.
If we believe.
If we believe.
That Jesus died and rose again.
Again.
I did not see the empty tomb on the morning that he came out. I didn't see the angel when he rolled the stone away. I was not there. I'm 2,000 years down the line. But I believe it happened.
We believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Somebody asked me one time, said, how do you know that Jesus Christ got back to heaven? Oh, I said, that's it. Jesus said, if I go away, I'll send you another company. And I said, the reason I know that he got all the way back, safe and sound, is Acts chapter 2, the first four verses. When the 120 were gathered together in the upper room and God sent the Holy Ghost upon them. The Lord said, when I get back, I'm going to send it down. Hallelujah. And he sent it down. Praise God. And that Holy Ghost is still here tonight. It's not lifted, but it's still here tonight.
Shout because I tell you to. You shout because you feel it. Lord, if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, read on now. Read it. Even so them also. Which sleep in Jesus.
Will God bring with
now
him.
Now let's go back to the 13th verse and read it all.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep,
that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again,
even so,
them also which sleep in Jesus,
will God bring with him? Hallelujah.
Will God bring with him?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. God will bring them with him.
Praise the name of God.
Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus.
What else did he say?
For this we say unto you,
by the word of the Lord,
that we which are alive and remain,
unto the coming of the Lord,
shall not prevent them which are asleep.
Now the word prevent in this scripture means precede. In other words, the dead in Christ are going to be raised first. It seems the Lord is going to hold his hand on the living saints. That I'm going to give these dead saints the privilege. They're going to come up first. They had to die. They had to taste death. No doubt they were sick, afflicted, maybe killed accidentally, whatever. I'm going to let them rise first. Now, you believers that's alive, you just wait. I'm going to let them out first. Shall not precede them which are asleep. Now, read. Notice what he said.
For the Lord. Himself.
No, an angel.
Himself.
No, an angel.
Himself.
You mean that?
I mean
that. You mean that?
I really do.
Well, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Someone has got up from the second idea that an angel is going to come down to escort the bride. Can you see that? No, the bridegroom's coming for the bride.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I said the bridegroom is coming for the bride. For the Lord himself, not another.
Hallelujah.
Not the second person of the Blessed Trinity.
Right.
Not the third person.
Oh, no.
But the first and the last.
It's the first and the last.
The Lord himself.
Shall descend from heaven with a shout.
No, now, Brother Milam, you must be. You mean the Lord's going to come back with a shout?
With a shout.
And that's why we are shouting tonight. See, we're getting ready to meet him with a shout.
Hallelujah.
He's coming back with a shout.
Hallelujah.
With a shout.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He's coming back with a shout.
With a shout.
Come on.
With the voice of the archangel.
The voice of the archangel.
And the trump of God.
The trump of what?
Trump of God.
Not the trump of the name.
The trump of God.
The trump of God.
Trump of God.
That's the reason some people take the church way off down in the tribulation period.
Right.
When the angel sounds his last trumpet of judgment, they say that's the last trumpet, that's the rapture. Well, we're not going to be raptured at the sound of the trumpet of an angel. It'll be at the sound of a trump of God.
Hallelujah.
And it's going to bring all the dead out.
And the dead in Christ are right.
Now, that's who I'm talking about, the dead in Christ. The dead in Christ. Now, someone said, how can I get into Jesus Christ? Be joined into him? Just live your way into him? You want me to preach you a little more gospel tonight?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I don't know whether I can wait till Wednesday night to preach or not. Praise God. No, listen, I'll preach all day tomorrow. Driving down the road, I'll preach tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday. Then I'll be loaded up again Wednesday night. Hallelujah. The dead in Christ, you know how to get in Christ? Romans 13:14. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Jesus Christ, you have put on Christ.
Hallelujah.
That's how you get into Christ.
Hallelujah.
You're baptized into Christ.
Praise
You're
the
born
Lord.
Into Christ. That's how you get into Christ. You don't just gradually live your way into Christ or join your way into Christ. You're baptized into Christ. For the dead in Christ
shall rise first.
Then we,
which are alive and remain.
Oh, listen, if you're still alive, don't get discouraged. then we which are alive
and remain
shall be caught up
together
with them in the cloud
to be with the Lord
in the air
and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
You know, I have my own vision of the rapture. I've studied the rapture, and I've listened to other men that don't believe it like I do. I was very honest and sincere. I've read books. I've got books for and against. But I know what I believe, and I know what I believe the Bible teaches. I have my vision of the rapture. The church is the body of Jesus Christ, and the church is on earth. We're not angels. We're human beings, been converted and filled with the Holy Ghost. We're not angels. We're human beings. We're members of the body. Christ is in heaven. He's the head of our church. He's the head of the church, the body. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. At the sound of the trump of God, the body will start toward heaven. The head will start toward the earth. And out there somewhere in midair, the head and the body will be joined together. And we shall forever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God, that's it. We shall forever be with the Lord. Now let's read that again. Listen, this ought to bring some of you people off of those pews back there tonight. Praise God. And if you can't shout, I'm going to shout for you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's read it again. No, calm down.
All right.
The dead in Christ.
The dead in Christ shall rise first.
Shall rise first.
Then we, which are alive and remain,
shall
be caught up together.
Shall be caught up together
with them in the cloud.
To meet them in the cloud.
To be with the Lord in the air.
To be with the Lord in the air.
And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Praise God, praise
Hallelujah,
God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wherefore?
Here is a verse. When people preach, as I preach tonight, they quit right there, but I'm not going to quit right there. There's one more verse.
Hallelujah.
The last verse of that chapter. Here it is, read.
Wherefore?
Comfort.
One another.
With these words.
Hallelujah. What a comfort.
What word? The Lord is coming.
Hallelujah.
That should be the call of every child of God in this room tonight. Answer that.